Genesis chapter 47. And we begin in verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And the 5 brothers represent the entire family. If the king has any questions regarding Joseph's family, they can answer them. And this is important because the sons of Jacob are showing the king that they have proper respect for him. They're displaying good manners. Verse 3. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." Joseph was correct when he said that his family would be asked this question. And that was the usual question asked immigrants in Egypt. It was asked so that they could be sent to the right area of the country, the area that would suit them the best. 4. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land are we come, for your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray you, let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." They didn't come to stay forever. They came to stay for a while. They knew it would be temporary because they knew that the Holy Land was given to them by God. You know, in fact, they just wanted to ride this famine out in Egypt. Unknown to them, it'll turn out to be more than 400 years. 5. And Pharaoh spoke unto Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brethren are come unto you. The land of Egypt is before you. In the best of the land, make your father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if you know any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle." Egyptian parents wanted their sons to be anything when they grew up except a shepherd. Consequently, not many Egyptians became shepherds, which is why the king is in the market for some good ones himself. And he says he'll hire Joseph's brothers if they're good at it. Verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old are you?" And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." Jacob says that his days have been full of evil. And that was true. Of course, much of that was his own fault. In his early years, he was in the habit of doing things his way instead of God's ways. So it's not surprising. Verse 10. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And this area is called Ramses because later on, after the Israelites are made slaves, they will be forced to build a city called Ramses in this area. Verse 12. And Joseph nourished his father and his brothers and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Joseph was a good son and a kind brother, so he made sure that his family had everything they needed. 13. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore. so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. After 2 years of famine, the only places that had food were the storehouses that Joseph built. And so as a result, the people were desperate. And when a populace is desperate, a nation can become very unstable. So this could have been a very dangerous time in Egypt, and would have been if they had not adhered to the word of God that had come to them through Joseph. And so we see that the word of God promotes stability. 14, and Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh's money built the storehouses. Pharaoh's money paid men to fill them during the good years. Pharaoh's money paid men to protect those storehouses. So Pharaoh's government was paid for the grain that the people received. You know, if people expect their government to perform services, then they have to be willing to pay taxes for those services. 15. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, and that means that the people had no more money to buy grain, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money fails. We just don't have any more." 16, and Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you your cattle. I'll give for your cattle if money fail." In other words, I'll give you grain if you turn the ownership of your cattle over to me. 17, and they brought their cattle unto Joseph. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for flocks and for cattle of the herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. Someone says having to give up their cattle was a pretty high price to pay for food, wasn't it? Well, not really. If you think about it, the cattle were almost worthless to the Egyptians at this point. The cattle were just as hungry as the people, and there was no food for them either. And so Pharaoh is beginning to see with his eyes what several years earlier he saw in his dreams. The nation's livestock are all gaunt and bony. 18. And when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my lord, how that our money is spent. My lord also has our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands." In year seven, of the famine, the people tell Joseph that they have nothing to give the government in exchange for food any longer except their bodies and their land. 19. "Wherefore shall we die before our eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will become servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." The people need to get through this final year of the famine. If they can just get seed from Joseph and plant their crops, they know they'll have a harvest the next year. They'll know that they'll have a harvest because God's word said it would be that way. And so they sell themselves and they sell their land in exchange for seed so that they can survive. 20. And Joseph bought, all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. 21. And as for the people, he removed them two cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Someone says, "I don't get it. Why didn't Joseph just give them what they needed for free? I mean, after all, he was a man of God, wasn't he?" Yeah, and I'm convinced that's the reason he didn't give them something for nothing. God tells us to take care of those who can't take care of themselves, but giving an able-bodied person who can work but doesn't something for nothing can create more problems than it solves. Promotes dependence instead of independence. promotes laziness. Verse 22, only the land of the priest bought he not, for the priest had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. The priests were already on the government's payroll, so they didn't have to sell their land. Verse 23, then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. They sold themselves and their land, but the king allowed them to stay on their land and to farm it. And so, basically, they became tenant farmers to the state. 24, and it shall come to pass in the increase that you shall give a fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for your and food for your little ones. The people got to keep 80% of what they earned. They gave the government 20%, which isn't a bad deal. You know, you had gas tax, sales tax, property tax, income tax, and other government fees today. And at least today in America, it's going to be a lot more than 20%. So Joseph's system of government was probably much easier on the people than ours is today. 25. And they said, you have saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over all the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have a fifth part, except the land of the priest only, which became not Pharaoh's. Getting to keep 80% of their earnings is a pretty good deal for those who are supposed to be slave labor. Verse 27. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. The Israelites are quickly becoming a nation within a nation. 28. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And Jacob and his son Joseph had 17 years before he was sold as a slave. And then God gave them another 17 years together in the land of Goshen. 29. And the time drew near that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in your sight, put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray you, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and you shall carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as you have said. And he said, swear unto me. And he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. You see, I don't get it. Why was Jacob so concerned about his dead body? What difference does it make where his body is laying? After all, his spirit will go to paradise anyway. It was a big deal because Jacob was a man of faith and God promised him the Holy Land as eternal possession. Jacob believed God and he wants to be there in the Holy Land on Resurrection Day. You know, the first thing that man will see with his new resurrected eyes is the Holy Land. Everything a Christian does should reflect in some way their faith in the Word of God. I know it doesn't always work out that way, but our life should always match up with our faith. Our actions should always be consistent with our beliefs. And when they are not, we should be humble enough to admit it, confess it, and get back on track.